Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the epistle reading from James chapter 5. I will read again the first and last verses, verse 7 and verse 11. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and the late rains. And verse 11. Behold, we consider those blessed who remained steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. This is our text. Before we move to the epistle reading from the book of James, I'd like us to consider for a few minutes the gospel reading from Matthew chapter 11. It always has a sort of strange feeling to me on this Sunday to hear Matthew chapter 11, in which we hear about John the Baptist being imprisoned, on the Sunday when we light the pink candle and we hear the word Gaudete, rejoice, spoken all throughout the service. Rejoice, we're told, but then when we turn to the gospel reading, we find the one who prepares the way for Jesus imprisoned and his death drawing near. And from prison, John sends a message to Jesus asking, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? Is John uncertain about who Jesus is? Last Sunday, we heard about how John's finger is the one always pointing to Jesus, saying, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And yet it might be that languishing in prison, he has his doubts. He needs his reassurance. He needs to hear again that Jesus is the coming one. Or maybe John sends the messenger for his own disciples' sake. He knows that his day is drawing near when his head will be removed and they will no longer have his words to listen to or him to follow. Where should they look? Who will they follow when John is gone? Maybe this is his way again, appointing them back to Jesus and saying, go and ask him, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? I would imagine that one issue for John the Baptist being in prison, and perhaps for his disciples as well, even when they hear that Jesus is the coming one, even when they know that he is the promised Messiah, one issue is that they want to see the fullness of his kingdom now. And it isn't all given yet. It's true, some of the blind now see, some of the lame walk, some of those who are imprisoned will be set free and relieved. But not John. And his disciples, too, in following Jesus, will go through many trials as well. And this is, I think, why the reading from St. James is so fitting for today. Because he begins with these words, be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. What John needed while he was imprisoned, what John's disciples needed while they tried to determine who they follow as John dies, what we need through this time is for our patience to be increased, to grow, while we wait for the coming of the Lord. What we need is patience, but what we find in the world around us is not a world that helps us learn patience, but rather a world that is constantly teaching us to be impatient. We want it now, right away. Everything is one click away because two clicks is more than we want to take. Two-day delivery isn't good enough, so we have one-day delivery or same-day delivery as well. We send a text. And rather than checking 2 hours later to see if they got the text from us, we pick the phone back up and look at it immediately. We are an impatient lot, and the world around us is teaching us constantly to be impatient. to want what we want now and not be willing to wait for it to come. And yet, St. James here encourages us that what we need is precisely what the world cannot give us. What we need is a patience that looks for and longs for and waits steadfastly for the fulfillment of all of God's promises. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. And we've talked about this recently. It'd be really easy to be patient if we knew when the coming of the Lord would be. Tell me it's tomorrow, Lord, and I think I can wait. Maybe next week or a month from now. But when will the coming of the Lord be? Well, this is precisely why we need patience. Because we aren't told, and we won't know. And the only way to live in that tension of knowing he's coming but not knowing when is to have this gift of patience. Now, St. James gives us an analogy to use here as well. He says, look at the farmer. See how he waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. What happens to a farmer who gets impatient? What happens when he jumps the gun with his crop? Perhaps not waiting for everything to happen in the right timing, but doing things out of order. Perhaps harvesting his crop before it's ready. Instead of a beautiful load of fruit or of peaches or cherries or apples, you end up with a lot of unripe fruit that will make you sick. The farmer has to wait, and he cannot rush it. He cannot speed things up. He is dependent on processes beyond his ability and control. For the sun and the rain and the heat. And only then, only at the proper time, only when everything is ripe and prepared, will the farmer receive the precious fruit of the earth. It's a beautiful picture, I think, because what it says is that we're not just waiting for the Lord to come again. We are waiting for that fullness of time, for the ripeness of everything that our Lord is doing. We are waiting for him to send the early and the late rains, so the harvest will be abundant and plentiful. I don't know that James intended this when he wrote this, but the early and the late rains, to me, call to mind the fact that the church has been here for 2,000 years, waiting patiently. I kind of hope that the early rains were the rains that fell on the church 2,000 years ago, and the rains falling now, the grace of God being poured out upon us today, that these are the late rains and that the time is near. Our Lord is watering the earth. And I don't just mean with the precipitation outside. He is watering the earth with his own precious word and his own holy sacraments. He has planted the seed, and he is letting the seed grow and mature and take root and the fruit to ripen. Every time we gather here, you could say the late rains are falling upon us again. And he is preparing the soil and the seed and the plants to bear fruit. May it be so among us as well. And may he give to us today and every Sunday the patience of a farmer who is willing to work and then wait and then work again. You also be patient. How might we learn patience in our lives? How might we fight against those pressures that we feel from outside that are constantly teaching us to be impatient? Perhaps we need to begin some practices in our own lives that not only tell us we ought to be patient, but actually begin to teach us that same patience. This week in your own life, you can pause rather than responding immediately, rather than expecting something to come today. You can wait for it to come longer. And every time that you do, remember not only you're waiting in this life for earthly goods, but remember as well the way that we are waiting patiently for the coming of our Lord and the fulfillment of all that he has promised. And what he has promised is so good. You heard the description of it from the prophet Isaiah. So beautiful. A wilderness that is in blossom. A desert that has streams flowing through it. People who were blind or deaf or lame or mute, who are now seeing and hearing and leaping and singing, rejoicing over God's creation. The whole world being remade. The whole creation being renewed in the purposes for which God originally gave it. And the human body itself being restored to the fullness of life for which we were made. This is what our Lord is bringing. It's the message that was sent back with John's disciples to John imprisoned. Is Jesus the one? Everything Isaiah promised is happening, beginning. Blind seeing, lame leaping, mute speaking, deaf hearing, as a down payment, a foretaste of the fullness of that promise that is still to come. Isaiah tells us that a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the way of holiness. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray, which is beautifully comforting for all of us. No lion, no ravenous beast shall come upon it, but the redeemed shall walk there. The highway of holiness that has been prepared, the one that leads to this promised new creation, is the path of following our Lord Jesus Christ that has been laid down for you here in the church. It is the highway that goes through holy baptism to the Word of God, through confession and absolution to the holy communion of Christ's body and blood. We are walking that highway even now as we wait for the coming of the Lord. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. This is another reminder that James gives us. At hand means that it is near, at the very gates, close. We ought not think of our Lord's coming as being far, but being so near that you can almost taste it and smell it and see it even now. That the veil is so thin that at any moment he might break through in all his glory. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. James also has a warning. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. What happens when we become impatient? What do we do when we want something quickly or now? We begin to grumble and complain about one another, about those around us, about our world, about whatever it is. Never about ourselves, of course, but only about others. Be aware in yourself of this temptation to grumbling against one another within the family of the church, within your own earthly families or workplaces or schools, wherever you might be. If you find yourself grumbling, put it in check. Confess that sin and ask the Holy Spirit to increase your patience with others. And then James gives us an example. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Take Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah writing 700 years before Christ. When he wrote those words about the way of holiness on which the redeemed will walk, I wonder if Isaiah thought, will it be in my day? Let it be soon, dear Lord. And then 700 years passed before Christ came in the flesh. And not only that, but Isaiah the prophet, who had to suffer much, including, according to one tradition, being placed into a log and sawn in two by an unrighteous king of Judah. I suppose that's something you don't want patience with. You want it to be over quickly. He spoke in the name of the Lord. He saw the promises, you might say, from afar. He knew what was coming. But he suffered and was patient. May God grant that to us as well. For we do have our sufferings, not as great perhaps as Isaiah's, but we have our sufferings in body and in soul and in mind and in our relationships and the anxieties of this life. May our God grant to us patience, knowing that Christ, who has come, is coming again soon and comes even now with his precious gifts. And finally, you have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord. The book of Job, 42 chapters, almost entirely of grief and of suffering. He lost his material possessions, he lost his children, and he lost his health. And his wife said to him, "Job, why don't you just curse God and get it over with and be done and die?" And Job refused. He not only refused, but he said, "Even if my flesh decays, even if I am laid in the ground, yet I know with my own eyes I will see the Lord. I will stand upon the earth. I know that my Redeemer lives. He lives and he reigns. And he is coming again soon, and that coming is at hand. And the purpose of the Lord is to accomplish all that he has promised through the prophets, all that he began in his earthly ministry. Our Lord will bring to completion on that day when he returns again. Be patient, therefore, because you know how the Lord is compassionate and merciful." This is what enables us to be patient. That our Lord is not impatient with us. Our Lord is not grumbling against us, and he has not struck us down for our sins, but he is patient and compassionate and merciful and forgiving, even of us again today. Our impatience, repent and be forgiven. Our grumbling, repent and be forgiven. And then know the compassion and mercy of your God. And out of that compassion and mercy, go forth, renewed in your patience, strengthened in your life with your neighbors, waiting for the Lord, for his coming is near, even at hand. When the time is ripe and the fruit is prepared and the harvest is full, the heavens will break open and we will see him with our own eyes. The day is coming soon, in Jesus' name. Amen.